Come on. Come on. God has a passion for Tulsa. God has a passion for Owosso. I mean, are you kidding me? They won the state championship. That's crazy. That's amazing. That's like history right there. Come on. Come on. God has a passion for Owosso, for Oklahoma, for the world. Like, we are about to go into this series about God has a passion for the world. And it's just amazing to think about what the Lord has done, what the Lord continues to do. And so if you don't know me, my name is Misael Gonzalez, and honestly, I'm really grateful for you, because you guys have sent me to really spend a lot of time in Tulsa to lead and to pastor the Mission Church. And so I'm really grateful for that. And as we get into this series, Passion for the World, we're going to skip all the way to John 18. So go ahead and go to John 18 with me. And as you're looking for that, I do want you to write down the title of this really, 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 really quick message. And the title is Arrested for the World. Arrested for the World. So because Jesus has a passion for the world, he was arrested for the world. And I want to define what passion means, because passion is much more than just this deep and strong love and devotion. It's much more than this strong love and this strong devotion, because if you look at the Latin word for passion, it actually means suffering. And so when we talk about the passion of Christ, we're talking about the suffering of Christ. Whenever we talk about the Passion Week experience, we're talking about the Suffering Week experience. And so whenever we look at these things, whenever we remind ourselves that passion is suffering, well, these things like Passion Week remind us that Jesus willingly, don't miss that, willingly suffered for you and for me. That he willingly went to the cross. That he willingly said, you know what, I love you so much that I'll die for you. Like, when Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't like, oops, I didn't mean to do that. Like, oopsie, like, I didn't know how I got here. No, 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 it was intentional. It was with love. It was with care. And when I think about Jesus' love, man, like, Jesus' love is incredible, because he can love all, he can sacrifice for all, he can save all, because he knows all. Jesus knows all. I was told this a while back, and I thought it was beautiful. Someone looked at me and said, hey, you do know that to be known is to be loved. To be known is to be loved. I could give you so many examples, but I'll just give you one. A couple years ago, I was kind of having a really long day, really bad day. And I love tacos, okay, love tacos. But I also love a good steak. And so I had a friend who actually came to my house and delivered a good steak, even though I was having a long day, a bad day. And I was like, you know what? I feel loved. I feel known, because you know I like a good steak. And so there's different things that people do for us because they know us. And Jesus, very simply, man, he fully knows us, our good, our bad, our ugly. And he still loves us fully. So he knows us fully. He loves us fully. And so as we look at John chapter 18 really quickly, I want you to write down this main focus, because I do want you to have a main focus today. Like, if you're at lunch and you're hanging out with people, I do want you to say, hi, I at least learned one thing today at church. And so here's the one thing I want you to take away today, is that Jesus was arrested but not controlled. Jesus was arrested but not controlled. Jesus' journey to the cross actually started way before John 18. Jesus' journey to the cross actually started in Genesis. I don't know if you remember, when God looked at Adam and Eve and promised them, and really promised us, that one day he was going to send someone who would defeat sin and crush the serpent's head. That he was going to send someone to do that. And then when we look at John 18, we see this is the beginning of Jesus' journey in history to the cross. So we see that Jesus being arrested for the world. And as he's being arrested, do not miss this. As he's being arrested, Jesus was still in control. As he's being arrested, Jesus already knew and did know what was going to happen. So let's read this together, and we'll just have a couple more points after this just to deeply look at it. So starting in verse 1 in chapter 18, it says this. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked him, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. So as we deeply look at this again, I hope you see that Jesus was arrested but not controlled. He was completely in control. So one deep thing to look at this is that Jesus identified himself for the world. Or the way you'll see it on the screen is that Jesus identifies himself for the world. Jesus identified himself with his word and with his power. He says, "I am he." And then guess what happens? You saw it right here. They hear that and then they fall to the ground. And this is what Jesus did time and time again in his ministry, that with his word and with his power, he clarified a lot of things. Jesus walked and he talked and he said, "Hey, you've heard it said this way and this way, but I'm telling you right now that I'm clarifying the Old Testament and I'm saying this is the way. I'm clarifying to you the laws and this is the way that you should live. This is the way that you should go. This is the way and you walk in it." You see Jesus clarifying the sacrifices. We said, "Yes, you guys have been doing this Old Testament way of sacrifices, but I'm telling you right now that there is a new hope in front of you, that there is new hope in me. There is a new hope in this sacrifice. There is a new hope that is looking at you in your face and saying, I'm going to sacrifice myself for you," which is so important because in the day, in this time, in the Jewish culture, I mean, you had men who had to represent their families to go to Jerusalem and make a sacrifice for their family. And the sacrifice was this temporary cleansing that whenever they would sacrifice the animal, this pure animal, it was almost like this exchange where the animal would take the sins of the family and then it was almost like if the cleanliness or cleanness of the animal be transferred to the family. It was this temporary satisfaction of God's wrath, this temporary cleansing of their sin. But then you have Jesus, who Jesus again clarifies and said, there is a greater sacrifice that is me, myself, and I. A perfect sacrifice that I didn't come to earth just to sacrifice for one family, but I came to sacrifice myself for the entire human race. Not just to make you temporarily clean, but eternally clean, that all those who look at me, all those who believe in me, and they would be saved, that they would be saved through my sacrifice, that they would be spiritually cleansed, forever satisfying the wrath of God. And I just want to make something just super simple here. Before the cross of Christ, humanity had to give their best, sacrifice their best, which is these clean animals, for their worst, which is their sin. But one thing that they found out and that we know is that humanity's best could not outweigh, outdo, or outperform their worst. That the only way to outdo and outweigh and outperform our worst, our sin, was God's best. that is only God's best that can completely erase our worst. It is only His best that can do that. And so the second thing I want you to see here is that Jesus gave Himself to the world. Que Dios se dio a Él mismo al mundo. Jesús dio, Jesus gave. And as we look at this passage together, it's just super obvious that Jesus goes to a place to be found. He went to a place where Judas knew he'd be hanging. So He goes to a place knowing He'll be found. So this means for us that Jesus was not hiding. And then whenever the soldiers approach and whenever Judas and his gang approach, Jesus doesn't run away. Instead, He walks towards them. He's like, yeah, I know what you're here for. I'm in control. I know what's up. I know what's going on. So Jesus doesn't run away. He doesn't try to fight. And it's incredible how Jesus honestly walked towards those handcuffs. He walked towards being arrested. And I don't want you to miss this because this is so important. Jesus walked towards being arrested because He knew being arrested physically would lead Him to go and arrest death. That His physical arrestment, if that's even a word, it makes sense in Spanish, but not in English. But being physically arrested would lead Him to go arrest death forever. Not just temporarily, but forever. And as this is happening, as He's being arrested, Jesus is still Jesus. Jesus is still God. Jesus is still in control. That Jesus was arrested for the world. That because of Jesus' passion, His suffering, we could have life. And so there's just a really practical question as we just end today. A very practical question is, what will our response be to the arrest of Jesus? What will our response be to the arrest of Jesus? Are we going to be like the Peters that were like, no, this arrest shouldn't happen, and we're going to cut someone's ear off? Or are we going to be the people that run away? Or are we going to people who are going to look at the arrest of Jesus and say, you know what? Jesus, thank you. Because when I look at your arrest, it just shows me how much my sin costs. Because I think for us, because we're not like there and because we're not in these times, I think sometimes we read this as a story and we have pity on Jesus. And we go, aw, poor Jesus. Oh, poor Jesus, He was like arrested and it, like, took Him away. But my friends, our response should not be pity. Our response should be dependency. And so when we look at this, it's dependency, not pity, that should be our very only response. Because when we look at the arrest of Jesus, it shows us the weight of our sin, our need for Him. And we should be absolutely grateful that Jesus willingly and intentionally took the journey to the cross for us. And so today, you might be in this room and maybe you haven't been depending on the Lord like you should be. Maybe you're in this room and you just haven't found yourself very grateful for the grace of God or the salvation of God. Maybe you've just been dismissing Him. Man, today is not the day to dismiss God. So let's do this. Let's stand up together. And what's super cool is that after I pray and as we sing, there's actually going to be some people right up front that would love to pray with you. Because it was maybe during this powerful, powerful time of singing praises to our God. Or maybe it was during this really short reading of God's word and explanation of it, that God very clearly spoke to your heart and said, excuse me, you're not depending on me. Excuse me, you have been dismissing me. Excuse me, don't forget that I know you and I love you. I know all of you and I love you. And so we're going to pray and continue. And as we do, man, I hope that you would so willingly go to the Lord in the same way that God was so willingly to go to the cross for you. So let's pray. Señor, en este momento estamos tan agradecidos. Lord, in this moment, we are so grateful. Lord, thank you that you are so intentional to come to earth to us to make an eternal sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray that we would be the ones who are dependent on you, that surrender to you, that give it all to you. Lord, forgive us when we haven't done that. Lord, forgive us when we have forgotten that you are in control. And so, God, I personally praise you and we praise you to know that our Lord and our Savior was still in control even though he was being arrested. Lord, thank you that you are the one that arrested death. God, we praise your name because it is at your name, Lord. Like we said earlier and sang earlier, it is at your name, Lord, that all things tremble. It is at your name that all things find its purpose. It's in your name that every single person can find salvation, life, and hope. So God, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.